I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 6th of September 2020. And again, of course, I always ask that you hold on to your sanity as we go through these times. Again, I was just thinking before I started yapping away there about the Matrix movie and how it gave you an idea of a system that coexists within another system, and it's all manufactured by outsiders, you would say, to serve their own purpose, where people really are raised to be batteries because you take energy from the people to run the whole system in the Matrix. And it's not too far from the truth in a certain way, an analogy, because everything comes from us, you know. You take all these multi-billionaire corporations, even trillionaire ones they have today, and they really do have multi-trillionaires at the very, very top. And all the money comes from us, you know. Whatever is made by labor of all kinds and raw resources. So they take over raw resources of the world to make their products and so on. And including the food, I've mentioned this so many times before, their food supply is run by only a handful of international corporations, the bulk of your food supply. More so now than ever is they've made a big grab for it during the COVID front. You know, it's a front. That's what COVID is. It's an excuse under a wartime scenario to take over and change the whole system on behalf of those who already really rule it, and make it more efficient for them. And that's what it's all about. So really, as I say, we are still batteries in a way. We consume because we're alive, naturally. Our basic needs have to be met, at the very least. And even to your heating in the winter or cooling in the summer, if you live in a hot climate, all depends on energy. Again, technocracy that was founded on controlling and running and owning the energy supply of the planet that the humans need to survive by those who decide that they had the right to rule. It's more true than you think, as I say, with the Matrix. And in the Matrix 2, in the movies, which are awfully entertaining too, you have all kinds of areas in the Matrix with different characters that are like the major domos of their particular area. And you have the keymaster type thing, the locksmith, and all kinds of real good characters that are enjoyable in a sense for being the ultra bad guys. And they can lock you in or out of their particular areas, in fact. Very much like the system in which we live. When you really realize that the world it has many compartments, like the WTO, the World Trade Organization, the World Economic Forum, that really is all part of the same structure, in fact. And they decide what the UN's going to be doing and what countries are going to be doing and what all the economies are going to be or not to be doing and how we're going to live. We call it a democracy, but a democracy has got nothing to do with it. If anything, it's a scientific oligarchy at the top, or near the top, at least serving the dominant minority, as Aldous Huxley mentioned in his own talks. And that's how it really is run. And it's been that way for an awful long time. For the people who really thought about democracy and really believed in it, I feel sorry at times. Because it's like giving you some, and it's a religion, really, isn't it? It's like communism is a religion. You have to really believe in it to make it work to any extent at all, which generally means the populace has to give up all their rights and freedoms and even sacrifice and go into austerity for the greater good, for something way down in the future, which we'll never see and never will see because it's not meant to actually appear. Ever. That's the trick of all working together for a better tomorrow. It's been done for an awful long time, of course, through the Soviet system and their bloc and in communist China. And communist China is interesting because, again, you have a different culture, a very ethnocentric culture, very proud of themselves too. They haven't had decades of being taught at university that they're bad and evil, and so they have no shame and no guilt for anything, you see. So they're very proud in their system, and they obey it very well. They are more of a collective society. I might put up tonight, actually, an article. I don't know how I came across it, But it was to do with the Silk Road. You've heard about the big Silk Road idea that, again, the World Trade Organization and the World Economic Forum have been pushing for years, a massive transportation system right from Russia all through, right through Europe, and even having a spin-off part, a circular part in Spain. And they've designated Spain to be a multicultural society, a kind of hub for the future. And they've been working on that. And by the way, that's also part of the reason that China's been pushing into the borders of India, because they want to bring in the road through there. For those who are wondering why it's all about the skirmishes I've been having with China, that's part of it. And the media knows it. The media are not there to inform you about anything. They're meant to get emotional reactions from you and to see if you'll swallow the lies they keep telling you, especially with the COVID that's going on right now. So, as I say, the Matrix is a system where you get your eyes opened with each room that you walk into, or go through the doors, depends, you know, what kind of entrance you want for the audience. But it's quite interesting to see the different. It's not just levels on a horizontal plane, but it's also a vertical, and you can go up and up and up to whole new levels of it, and so on and so on and so on. But the idea is, it takes off really from the system in which we live, which is we are economic units, so we produce things. We're also energy in ourselves. And from it, you'll always have a dominant minority that suck from us, and even force systems upon us, which we will often adapt and adopt very quickly, but adapt into very quickly as well. And look at the internet. Well, even with radio and television, these are like wonders to the world when they first came out in radio, let alone, you know. And I really mean this, because it's true. It was a miracle in its day and age when radio came out. And I can remember my dad talking about the old crystal sets. And the crystal sets literally were because everything is oscillators to do with radio, or even basic television as well. You had oscillating frequencies, and you have a little oscillator inside your set or your radio or whatever. And if you can tune it to the same frequency as an incoming frequency, then it develops into audio, basically, through a bunch of circuitry. But anyway, in the old days, the people could get crystal sets, as they called it, small units, and some of them were kind of portable, but you needed a long antenna to pick up the signal. And the antenna was really just, it's a roll of copper wire, very thin copper wire generally. And my dad mentioned it when he was young, and he was with some of his buddies in a little housing outway scheme. And one of them had a crystal set out the back garden. And and it was a big thing, you know, as youngsters, especially boys too, interested in all kinds of things, of technology and so on. So they got it going, and they put a little earphone on to listen to it, because it didn't have a built-in speaker, and they all had turns in it. And one of the little boys, these are boys about 8 or 9, you know, and one of the little boys looks and says, "Oh, where does it come from, the signal?" And they said, "Oh, this is London, it's BBC London." And he looked and he saw the wire disappearing round the house, the side of the house. He says, "Man, that must be a really long wire." Because that's how children see things, you know. And technically, it was logical as well for a young child to think that way. It was, that's an awful long wire. He didn't know that it didn't go right to the station. It just picked up the signals from the air. But that's what technology is, and people went crazy with radio. I think the first radio in the States, our station in the States, played music, and it played kind of country music at the time in the States, but it also was set up by real estate, some guy who was into real estate, so they had the first advertising on radio, and that really took off, as you well know. And then along came television, and television was there a long time ago. In fact, pre-World War II, John Logie Baird in Scotland, for those who don't know, it had colour televisions, flat screen, big ones too, before the World War II broke out. It always gives you an idea that it was a fairly recent invention, but it's really much older, because he'd been making TVs for long before that. But technology, again, is power, isn't it? It's got the power to change society for those that want to change it, which gives them a power to change it. And the trick, again, is like the internet, is to get you to purchase everything yourself that they need for all information, because then they can control information. And most folk never figure out. They really don't, just like the television. They never know. They never really figure out the TV's not there really to entertain them. Entertainment is just, it's like the cheese in a mousetrap. You know, that's really what it is. The real purpose of it is very, very different. It's to standardize opinion and thought of society, no matter what society it is. And it's all arranged by experts and professionals to also change your behavior. That's one of the main things, is behavior change. And we have lots of information on that from many, many authors in the past and people who investigated it all, and people who are involved in changing societies as well. And again, Aldous Huxley, who was definitely up there with the big think tanks in his day, and who belonged to a family that was part of the Darwin-type clan, and intermarried with them, in fact, eventually. Some of the members did, anyway. The Huxleys were well involved with those who were changing and directing the thoughts and behavior of societies. He admitted that himself. He said, my family's part of the scientific elite who work for the dominant minority. And they work with academia as well. And it isn't just technology, it's also psychology and behaviorism and how to alter the behavior and thoughts of whole populations of people. What you're living through today is tremendous, massive psychological warfare like we've never seen it before, really. We didn't even have this kind of psychological warfare during World War One or Two, or even through the Vietnam era either. This is a big push for the planet. This is world war. This is real world war. And it's psychological warfare backed up with military type force through the police. The police are a force now. They're an internal force with a uniform, like any military. And they're generally armed in most countries. Not all, but most of them. And the ones who are not armed are often trained in the use of it, so they can arm them very quickly if they have to. So you're living through a world war, and this war is the culmination of many years, many, many years. You might even say centuries in a sense, to a very real sense, to bring in a technologically controlled society by the use of technocracy, specialists and experts in every possible area who are going to rule your lives. They're already doing it, and they've got power to do it now. But they want the right to literally not just start off as a child with a child, children like they have in Scotland with Gyrfec and parts of England too, and other countries too, with different names of advocating government agents and social workers to work with children from birth right through, no matter about ethical parents or not. It's to do with modifying the thoughts of the child as they grow up to suit the agenda of those who rule you and own your countries. That's what it's about. Always under a great guise. What's for the greater good again? And there'll be no animosity from people or different ethnic groups or so. Well, just get rid of all that damage. That's what they claim, but it's a big, big lie because, as you well know, not every ethnic group has been subject to the same incredible indoctrination and standardization. Huh? Those at the top of the world, I mentioned it before and some recent talks as well, but even many, many years ago when I talked about psychopathy, and some people wrote books about psychopathy and were good enough to mention me in their books, is where they got a lot of the information from. But psychopathy is so interesting. Because when you really meet a real psychopath, you might not catch on quickly, you know. They like to often boast if they've been caught at something. Even in prison, some intelligent ones will often boast about what they did. They like attention. However, if they're not caught and they're working freely in society, most folk often can't quite figure them out. Women will often pick up fellas or get picked up by fellas or whatever, and they'll pick up fellas that they feel sorry for. They just need a bit of help. I'm the person to put them in the straight and narrow and fix them up. You know, that's maybe some maternalistic instinct. Who knows? But the fact is, or maybe it's just plain ego. But it often ends in disaster if it's a psychopath they're picking up, because psychopaths on the low level, the low scale of things, the kind that just see something in a window and want it, they're not the brightest type on the low level, but they still have the incredible instincts of reading people and using them and manipulating. But they're also the kind that throw bricks into the window and grab the stuff and make off with it, and then they get caught and they're now a prison for their whole lives. But as you go up the ladder, and I think the studies that were done in the US and in Britain, maybe in the 30s and 40s, were catching on slowly because there was such a class distinction back then too. It was very overt, in fact. It's still there today, but it was very overt back then. When they really thought most psychopaths were just working class types and unemployed types as well. Until they started to realize that, no, there's a lot more in the middle and upper strata. And that's when they went into, eventually, it took them a long time to get round to the CEOs of corporations and the big players in corporations that get up there and become the heads of even the military-industrial complex, you know. And then you find out that those who run the world financially, again, the dominant minority, you know, a hereditary group, will employ these psychopaths and put them in place as CEOs. These are intelligent type psychopaths. They're more savvy as to what's going on, and they're careful not to end up afoul of the law if possible. But they're dedicated psychopaths. If you pay them well, they'll serve you well. And then they form clubs with them too, and they can join certain clubs and very important type. They might even get knighted, some of them. A lot of them actually did in the past. If you look at the people who got knighted in Britain for the last maybe 150 years, most of them were merchant bankers and people like that who believe you me, in business, in real tough business, nice folk just don't get ahead. It doesn't happen that way. They'd be ruthless. And there are folk who are psychopaths who definitely are ruthless, who are very successful in the business world by being ruthless and by, again, lending to governments. Like, that's how often Britain knighted them and gave them in return for it. They'd end up being up there amongst the lords and ladies, and they'd intermarry each other, you see. So the psychopaths marrying into the psychopathic realm have a good chance, especially in the lifestyle and the culture within the family groups, of raising a good psychopath to take over intergenerational psychopathy. So very important. And all countries have it too. So when you realize the world's run by this kind of system, and then in the technological sphere, and those who are really into technology, who run the electronic systems of today and these massive empires of bits and bytes, etc., and Silicon Valley types, you'll find a lot of them are actually geeks. And their world is what they do and why they're doing it. They're kind of far removed from the emotions, the normal emotions that folk, have you noticed that with them? It was often thought a lot of them were almost autistic, Asperger types. And that some of them may very well be, that they don't seem to get on very well with people. And they have no qualms about working with the NSA and organizations like that, where they have no right to be in folks' lives in the first place, electronically, destroying privacy and invading it further and further and further, and other ones as well that work to design the next part of the cultural change as you get turned into slaves. Obviously, slaves. You have no free... You really don't have much free will left at all, you know? When choices in important areas are taken away from you, including using cash, for instance, this is an example. You're being the roads are being narrowed. All the accessory roads that join the main road are being stopped and walled off and are taken away or filled in, and you're left with this one road that you must be on. And the same with medicine and choices and everything else, or vaccinations or whatever it happens to be. When you don't have any choices, you're under a tyranny, a totalitarian tyranny, which will convince most folk that that's for your own good. And most folk, unfortunately, because the indoctrination is so perfect, they don't shout at people as they're persuading you. They're professional persuaders. That's what good psychopaths can do, by making things appear very plausible. You know? And most folk want to go along with it because they don't want to believe the world's rather nasty or it's cruel. Because, as I've said before, regardless of the century we live in, basically we're all kind of tribal. We're all born in little tribes sometime in the past, maybe 1,000 and 2,000 or more years ago. It doesn't make any difference. And in a tribal situation, children, they want to feel secure inside the tribe. And it's expected the elders take care of them and warn them and protect them and so on. So, yeah, you might even leave home now at 15 or 16 if you want to. But the fact is, it's still in your nature to be protected by those who are more mature, the real role models. And so the real people have been displaced in today's technology with propaganda, rather perfect propaganda and perfect indoctrination through schooling, you know. So they're taught to be naive, stay naive, and that the authorities, the experts, are in charge of it all, and just follow them, be obedient to them, because they're there to protect and help you. And that's the sort of mirage cover that they take upon themselves and project to you. You don't see them as they really are. You don't see the characters sitting at big board meetings talking about their multi-billion-dollar profits for giving you a flu shot for the year, for the nation or a few nations together. You don't see them meeting with members of parliaments or governments across the world, or the World Trade Organization, or again the World Economic Forum, or Gavi, or all these private institutions that they pretend are philanthropies. They've got massive shares in the big vaccine companies, you know, who also lobby governments, so the governments will take their vaccines that they'll manage to provide. And they all profit from it, of course. And that's just one example. If they could make you just dress in the same uniform, and a uniform that was made by one factory for the whole planet, and then they all looked the same, except for maybe degrees of superiority, you know, there's always some kind of superiority, and then they would do it. And they'd force you all to wear it. And they'd say it, well, because the material is meant to keep you safe from scratches and so on, from outside things and objects, then it's going to cost you about $5,000 each. So you'd be forced to pay it. They would do that if they could get away with it. Yes, they would. You better believe they would. Look at all the gadgetry they've come out with recently. Since the COVID idea. I saw something the other day, I think it was in China, where they had children sitting, again, with their mandatory, like, 2 meters apart desks. And they had these plastic shrouds over. I don't know where the air came in from, but they had shrouds over them, you see, and utter farcical things like that. And one I saw was good a few months ago there. It was a guy who took it to the next level, and he got an air filter from a car's intake. And again, it's very good, actually. I mean, in reality, it'd be pretty good if you needed it, which you don't. It really is like a HEPA filter. It's so fine to keep all dirt particles out from the carburetor, or the intake for the air, for the fuel. And he had it on his head, and he had a good chromed top on it. I don't know if he screwed it onto his head or not, but anyway, he had these tubes coming out of it, one to his mouth and a mask, and I want for an expulsion valve to let the air out. So I guess he could patent that. Maybe some corporation is already doing it. And we all walk around like that for the rest of our lives, eh? Because that's what it's come down to, utter farce that we've never seen before. And I knew this stuff was coming, because I given talks back in the 90s on the incredible psychological studies that had already been done on us, and other authors long before even Quigley came out in the 50s and 60s on television, talking about the studies on the public that were pretty well perfected, and they knew that, that using techniques back then, they could really drastically and very quickly alter human behavior and make us do things that perhaps we oughtn't to do, or think, or make us accept things that we shouldn't accept. That was way back then. But today, it's massive. I mean, your own tax money throws millions and billions across the world to these other think tanks and study groups and universities that all do these joint projects with those that eventually grab the patents, whatever they discover, and techniques. They have patents on techniques, by the way, for those who don't know it, on ways to manipulate you. And they do it, and it's very, very effective, incredibly effective. When you understand that most folk will take the path of least resistance at all times. Even though it's like one of those children's mazes you used to get with a little ball on it, and you go through the maze and you held it in your hand and you turn it left and right and up and down that to make the ball travel in the direction that you wanted it to go. But it was just like a little maze, and most folk will go along it and take the easiest route. Even though at the end, if you had a little hammer at the end, a little toy hammer would come along and just pop up through a spring and smash the ball, right? They would still go along that same path, left, right, left, right, left, right, until they get to the end, because it was easier to go that way. That's what people do. Even if you warn them, if they keep going the way they're going, they're done for. They'll still do it. I mentioned it before, there's a freezing of the mind comes into play when real danger starts to seep into your mind that you might be done for. And with some folk, it's paralytic. With a lot of folk, actually, it's paralytic. This cannot be happening in real life to me. We live in a civilized society, etc., etc., etc. And we know the Soviets killed millions of people. And the Bolsheviks, the slaughters was they still know that there's massive, massive fields in different parts of the Soviet Union with layers and layers and layers of bodies that were mass executed. This was the People's Army that did it, you know, the People's Army, on behalf of the people. You know, as they always take over the same authority. It's for the good of the people. So on behalf of the people, we will execute you, because you are enemies of the state. You're enemies of the people. You're seeing it emerge today with the COVID thing. You must wear those. You're enemies of the people. You know, you're dangerous to them. And that's a quick judgment and some batons and crashes in the skull. And that's it. That's where we are with this technique. And it doesn't really change too much on that level. But most folk will go quietly to the end without question. That's the sad part. I can't say enough about what happened with the Soviet system. And the Nazis used it again against people who, you know, they saw as enemies of Germany or the people. And the film of folk literally running in, you know, like one group after another, it's your turn now, and they'd run into this dug pit, and then they get shot, and down they went, the next group. And it's folk watching it, they think, when it comes our turn, it won't happen. That's what you think, you see. And the Soviets were masters. The Soviets actually sent out cards that were delivered to folks' homes by couriers when they came into a new territory. And were taken over, the Bolsheviks, you see. And the Bolsheviks were ferocious. They hated everybody, you know, except themselves. They sent out these little cards that were delivered, and when any Poland did the same thing too. And you get a little card, and it'll say, you attend so-and-so house, it might be the mayor's house or something that was taken over as a headquarters. And you walk in there, you'd be led. You wouldn't see many folk, it was like crowds of people, and you would just go along the corridor, for instance, and the guy would point there, you point in this room, and then you go down the steps into the basement. As you were going through the basement, they shoot in the back of the head, and that was it. Very efficient, and they had pulleys in the whole bit, they would just drag the bodies up through the coal chutes, and then they would dump them into, there's even old film of this stuff, you know. Very efficient it was, but every person, they think, well, if they sent for me, they want to talk to me. That's the first thing, because you will not think the worst, you see. They want to talk to me. And away you go, and you never get anybody to talk to, because eventually you get shot in the back of the head if you just passed another door. That's what happens. But the same thing with these big pits that they dug in Kachin, you know, there's another one too. Incredible horror story there as well. And another, like Bulgaria had it too, fantastic videos of survivors who saw me these camps. They had to work with the slaughtered bodies of their compatriots, and horrific things. This is what totalitarian brings, a totalitarian society brings to you. What we're going into now, though, you see, is persuasive techniques. I mentioned before with that movie that, was it Saving Private Ryan, where Tom Hanks, I think, goes, he's in a war movie, but he's looking for his brother or something, but I can't remember the whole thing. But anyway, there's a scene where they actually come across, the American troops come across some Germans. One of them started firing at them. They catch him alive. They decide not to execute him. And he gives them some, again, a good psychopath too. He gives them some spiel, and then they kind of let him go. But he, down the road, they meet him in a town. He goes into a town and met some other Germans, and they're taking up positions to defend the place. And the Americans came in, and one of the Americans goes up a bell tower, I think it was. And at the very top of the bell tower, who's waiting there is the same German that let go before. He was a good talker, a good con man. And he's trying to press this blade, this knife, into this American soldier. He's lying on top of the soldier. Just don't stop struggling. Don't struggle. He's not shouting at him. He's just speaking to him. Don't, it'll be all over very quickly, and all the problems will be gone, and it'll be quite peaceful. And, well, that's what you're getting right now, folks, with scientific persuasion. Same thing. Huh? Leave it to the experts. They know what's best for you. They got your best interests at heart, honestly. You know it, don't you? And they're well trained and they understand these things. They had articles, remember, in the paper recently, in his papers. Don't even question things. Just leave everything. Don't think too deeply about it. Leave it to the experts. This was the headline. You know? Well, here you are with all, and your governments are all on board with it. Because are you surprised? Do you really think the politicians are ever real? Politicians are low-level psychopaths. They're quite happy to be the masters and be given extra whatever it is, cash, residences, nicer residences, and honours and stuff like that. They're very happy with that. Because our societies are incredibly corrupt, and they've been incredibly corrupt for an awful, awful long time. It's normal now. They're really, really, really badly corrupt too. So now, what you're living through now is a managed horror show, disguised with hygienic white face masks on people with white coats, you see, in hospitals and things like that. That's managed that way. The common enemy, again, the enemy of the people, is a COVID, you know, like a coisa. Coisa is a COVID type as well. It's a cold, common cold. But this one's a SARS type, right? And most folk literally are already immune and don't even know they've had it, you see? And that's the way these things generally work. But never mind all the lying, I'll touch on it later, the lying statistics, etc., that are now being unearthed, admitted to reluctantly and all. It makes no difference, though, because the agenda must continue. Because what you're living through today is a culmination of a plan that was set up years and years ago, so that those who already ruled the world, this is their revolution, this is the next part of their revolution, to bring it into the more controlled technocratic system, the efficient system that will suit their agenda for themselves at the top. That's what it's for. You realize, getting back to the Matrix, where you're a battery, your energy is what it all runs on, is your energy. You're a slave, you see, for your energy. It's not far-fetched from where we are now, because the elite have decided that they're going to bring in the new system. You're not going to get asked if you like it or not. It's already here. They used 9/11 to take away all your rights, not just in the US, but across the planet. That's what there was a big warning that went off then. You know, alarms went off with 9/11. It wasn't just the fact that the towers inside the US came down. A whole different story, regardless of what caused it or whatever. But the fact is, that's what happened. You saw, right? They're gone with folk in it. But why would the whole world go under a new type of anti-terrorism? The whole planet, pretty well. And immediately, all the predictions of the military-industrial complex from the 80s and 90s, I've got old articles from way back, I mean, in real copy, hard copy, right? Where they said, what will we do in a world of peace, you know? The military-industrial complex, currently, you know? Well, surveillance of the citizenry will be the whole new thing, security and surveillance and anti-terrorism. They knew about this a long, long time ago. And that's where it would go. Well, how would you change a society where you're not under constant monitoring by the elite that own you, as far as you're concerned? Well, you need something to happen, right? And of course, the PNAC group, the Project for New American Century, drew up a whole list of countries that wanted to take out enemy because they had a different agenda from average Americans. And but they also wanted to introduce an anti-terrorism idea. They would start selling total security measures and surveillance on all citizenry in the US and outside the US as well. And Britain was in on the act too, naturally, you know, London. I hate saying Britain, because the British folk are as defenseless as the rest of us. You know. The terms remembered today are real corporate names. That's what these places, they're corporation names. And London has controlled what became Britain and the UK for an awful long time. It still does. But yeah, this is total surveillance of every citizen. And with COVID, oh my good, we'll go to the next level now. All the talk and all the preparations to bring in the smart cities by the World Economic Forum, right? The WEF, and the World Trade Organization, all these organizations, it's not really one club, it's one club actually, and most of the members of one belong to the other as well. This is how it works, you see. Circles within circles, as Quigley talked about, Carl Quigley it was. And that's where you have interconnecting circles, just like the symbol, by the way, of the Olympics. That's what you're seeing there. See how they connect? And that's a symbol, the five, of course, it's always the five points and so on, that interconnect that way. And that's how you do it. You need five of them for different parts of controlling society. That's what it stands for. And so they direct the future. They train the public to be terrified through terrorism, anti-terrorism, and now it's terrorism part two with COVID, you see. And then of the smart cities are going to be up and running very shortly. We didn't get to vote on any of that either, by the way. It was all set up again with the same characters with Facebook and participating, and Google, the massive Google intelligence network, setting up a good part of it too, and Alphabet agencies, etc., to bring in this wonderful system of total surveillance from birth to death, 24 hours a day on every individual outside your home or inside your home. That's what's in the smart hubs and all the rest of it. And again, lockdowns. And if you're a bad boy or girl, you see, and you've been naughty, and you haven't taken your latest vaccination, which is a whole list of stuff they want to give you now. I'll touch on that later. And I touched on this back in the 90s. Again, to me, everything's like repetition. But yeah, they'll simply lock you down at home. They don't have to give you an excuse. Well, but it's been reported that you've been in the vicinity of a person who had a sniffle, you know? And it's just like getting banned off the different social media. They don't have to give you any reason for it, you see. You're under these are totalitarian tyrannies. They make their institutions that belong to the elite, you see, they make them necessary to survive in today's economy, as an example. and everything. Like I said to talk years before I had a computer. I still was giving talks, eh? 1 hour folk shows and so on. And I said, yeah, everything on the computer will be free, on your internet will be free for a long time. And to get you in on it, and there's lots of pornography. They kept telling you that in the newspapers to make sure everybody just dived into it. And folk did, you know. And I says, I'll be free, and the YouTubes will be free, and everything's free, free. And then they start taking it all away from you. And once you're familiar with using it all, you'll go along with it anyway, and you might even pay to continue, because now it's part of your... You adapt very quickly into systems. They know this. And people literally... it's like political parties. If Dad and Grandpa was in the Labour Party in Britain, then often you'll be the same. Even if you're not even in the working class anymore, that's how it works. Folk don't change so quickly unless it's done through terror and fear. You see, then they'll change very quickly indeed. They have to, because everything's been let loose with the terror. You know, if you understand what I'm talking about. So you better get changed. That's how things really work, and most folk go along with it. It works on most folk very quickly. And getting back to the folk running into mass pits to be executed, you can actually see the old footage on this, if you want to see it. Remember what Plato said, don't ever think that somehow you're an advanced civilization. Don't ever think that. We're all the same people as we were thousands of years ago, regardless of the technology. We're the same people. We behave the same way to similar circumstances. Because really, there are not many ways you can react to things as a human. It's either happily, contentedly, quietly, but maybe with a bit of unpleasantness, or maybe with even anger. But it's always simple things you react with, you see, very predictable. And again, most folk will take the path of least resistance, especially now, when you have experts convincing you through we used to call it pattern merchants in Britain, a good pattern merchant, someone who could prattle off with a good spiel and convince you, a good salesman, the pattern merchants, to go this way anyway, you see, and especially if they've got a title now, this person is an expert in blah, 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 whatever it happened to be, and folk are trained that way, like Bertrand Russell said. I can't remember, it was the impact of science on society. But he did mention, I actually read it on the air, some of these books years ago. But he mentioned it, yeah, he said the people can be guided into anything. And the children especially, if you get them young, you can nearly use them, you know. I've watched a lot of the symbols, occultic symbols being adapted and adopted for political purpose right up to the present time, by the way. It's interesting. Even Extinction Rebellion, folk don't even know what the symbol comes from. But it's right in front of their faces if they want to look at it. But yeah, folk will do what they're told, because you've got a global threat, you see. You've got an invisible enemy. It's right off a science fiction movie. And especially the sci-fis that you've seen for years, you know, the plague, the coming plague, and virus, and... lockdowns, all these things they give you as horror movies, and here all is, eh? You're all prepared for it. You've seen it in the movies. You've seen Dustin Hoffman dash about, you know, like a madman trying to save you all in the movie. Eh? I can't remember the name of that one, but that was one of the big ones years ago. And here we are, and it's all been managed and worked out. When even, again, the Rockefeller Foundation came out with their big plans in 2010, and put it in there, the lockstep part of their plan. It was only part of it. But and of course, how technology in the future would influence us all and controls. Well, it's all here, folks. This is it, you know. It's all here. The people who brought the whole world to a standstill did it deliberately. Partly, they claim, I don't really believe it all, but this part, anyway, they claim that it's another reset, as they say, like the World Economic Forum, this is a reset, you know, the global reset, like the last 2007-2008 crash was a reset. This is the big one now for the whole planet, but not just for money, it's to be a whole new resetting of life existence, right down to the said in their own writings. because of an intelligence department in the WEF. You can actually see on their website. And when you go in there, you'll see it redefining what a human is right in there too, you see. Now, you thought you were in the sci-fis. These are the guys who create it for real life, real science fiction. And believe you me, there's nothing they can't make happen if you go along with it. By the other token, there's nothing they can get away with if you don't go along with it. I hope you understand that part. Hmm? Do you really want to go into a brave new world where I mean, the West has already said, and Russell said it too, Bertrand Russell, that the sterilization technique was already working in the West way back in the 50s. And the biggest problem in the West now is, infertility. I used to give the talks on the sperm count plummeting in the Western male. And what got me onto it was, why the interest in universities? Certain universities were given, and it's mainly women, by the way, that were given these tests, to test young men's sperm counts in certain universities. But this, we're farmed. They've such, it's the same as our animal husbandry. You got to know everything about the animals that you own. Any changes have to be completely noted. Well, that's us, folks. We're all humans. And they would go through all these different reasons for the sperm plummeting until literally, I think they had less than about a quarter of the mobile and motile functioning sperm, spermatozoa, than males had back in the 1950s, is that? Plummeted. And we're not supposed to be worried about that. You see, because they don't tell you why. The reason why they don't say why it's getting caught is because they know what's causing it. It's intentional. You're starting to get the picture. If it wasn't intentional, they would be spending billions of bucks to find out what happened to their animals. So they know what happened to their animals, us, you see. Of course they do. That's the horror show you're living in. It's been going on your whole life long, and you don't know it. And it's so true with the cancers that came out after the polio vaccine, with the Salk vaccine, Simeon 40 virus. It was included in it, because they grew the cultures for the vaccines on kidney cells of monkeys. And they couldn't extract the cell, the viruses that were growing purposely on them, and getting mixed with the viruses of the monkeys. Eh? So, and they put them in pretty well blenders at the end of it. If you can't figure that out, I mean, this is real high science. Eh? And that's how they end up with your different vaccines. Eh? But in amongst the vaccines, and they admit that, no, yeah, millions of folk got got the Simeon 40 virus, and that was just one of many viruses. Of over 110 viruses they've named so far, it was pumped into humans, and the Simeon 40 is a carcinogen, because it's cancer. That was science, eh? Science did that. Science that seemed, we're here to help you, right? Same science, we're here to help you. It's sad, isn't it? They were so trusting. And why shouldn't we be so trusting? You see, we normally have instincts that warn us about someone who wants to harm us. But once again, you've been trained and raised by all white-coated professionals. Mainly on TV and things like that, telling you how, and again, magazines, to push their objectives. It doesn't mean that doctors are bad, but doctors really are trying to do their best most of the time. They let them get hoodwinked as well. Other ones know darn well what's happening with the vaccinations, as an example. They know. Sure they do. And that's a whole field in itself, but a lot of doctors really are under their own tyranny of being licensed by big authorities that then can withdraw their licenses if they don't go along with things. It's already happened under the COVID, you know. Folk who won't go along with it. So, yeah, you live under tyrannies. And when a tyranny can't get its way, you end up with what's going to happen everywhere. You're seeing it in Australia right now. They had a protest. I'll put the link up, by the way. It's quite, I hate to say funny, but it's very obvious what's going on. The Daily Mail has an article talking about thousands of protesters turned up in like a riot type scenario in Melbourne. But in reality, very few protesters are to be seen anywhere, and therefore you'll see hundreds and hundreds of fully equipped cops in military gear. And only a few, a handful of protesters in any particular photograph. And the folk who were trying to get to the demonstration, the anti-mask thing, that's what it was about, anti-lockdown, couldn't even get in. They were getting turned away. Really, they got checkpoints in Australia like you wouldn't believe. You know? So the deception and the headlines, how ashamed they should be at the Daily Mail. But again, newspapers have been conning us for years, that they're not there to help us, folks. But any true journalist should be thoroughly ashamed of themselves. If they were not psychopathic, huh? They're getting well paid to write these lies up. I think McPhee, or it was a woman called McPhee, was the name on it. How disgusting to put the stories with the obvious photographs of some. It was a reverse. You saw an army of cops there, you know, protesting protesters, a handful of protesters. That's what it should have been called, army of cops protesting a few protesters. But that's how they've been managing our whole lives about conologies. See, conology is the art of persuasion for ill-gotten reasons and gains and things like that. It's liars. It's the art of the psychopath. It's the art of politics. It's the art of coercion and manipulation, you see, conology. And as I've said before, you must participate in your own deception. That's a good con. It's like the movie The Sting and other movies I've made about things like that. You must participate in the con. Generally, you think you get that someone's, again, going to give you something for nothing. That's a typical type con. And all you have to do, well, look at all the ones on the internet, you know. Prince Abdul blah 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 has left you money. All you have to do is give us your bank account number and we'll put it in for you. The simple type, you must really participate in a con like that, right? And it does happen all the time. You also have cons of folk who go around doors. They can be dressed in either as working men, like tradesmen, or in business suits. And every year they go around old folks' homes and say, "We're here to we'll do a free inspection of your home, get it winterproof and stuff." And they rip off the folk like you wouldn't believe. It happens. That's what criminology is full of, you know. Then they go into things like that or politics. Because they're good persuaders. And you might even like the psychopaths. You probably will, actually. They're often very pleasant. And part of the psychopathic technique, is to make you comfortable, and they could just reel off one joke after another, and you'll wow, ha ha ha, and the next thing you know, you go to bed and find out that there's no bed, there's no furniture, there's nothing left at all, and you're being had, you know. And then you have creative psychopaths. They tend to go into creative arts and so on. A lot of them are conners, just pure con anyway. I mean, putting a fetus in a jar of urine with a crucifix and put into an art gallery, that's a psychopath right there. But who obviously has a lot of hatred in them as well. And who also wants to destroy the culture that he's making accept and pay for all this nonsense, you see. But you get a few psychopathic types that can support themselves and sell whatever they're selling under the guise of art as well. That can happen. And but when you read their histories, people in the past, they tend to be very not just eccentric, but volatile at times as well. Things like that, very volatile. So anyway, persuasion, huh? Persuade. Can I persuade you? Is what they'll tell you. How to persuade you? Or they'll say, see it my way. If they can't get that, they turn the cops loose on you. Because they coerce you. Again, you know, they give you a choice of doing with it what they want, going quietly, or even admitting to something you haven't done, or having your head bashed in, you know, and put behind bars. People have got mixed feelings, for, as an example, of Julian Assange. I've heard folk that I know who really don't like him. I don't know him to like or dislike. But I do know that he was set up for the present charges. And I do know that there was just a little window during his reign to let information out to the public, really badly needed information, on what your own forces are doing across the world. And how you young guys in charge of multi-million dollar, you know, equipment or organizations and so on, like they can and drones that they can sit hovering in the sky, you wouldn't even see it with naked eye. Or they got these helicopters, and you saw them gunning down reporters over in Iraq, I think it was. And that's what really pissed off the Pentagon. When you hear the chatter of these young guys, yeah, let them have it, and the unarmed reporters, eh? And laughing and giggling about it. No, when you're hearing troops giggle about things like that, this isn't a hand-to-hand combat here, you know. This is worse than a sniper. Snipers generally are not liked at all. If they're found, they're killed. You don't take them prisoners in any side of any army because even regardless of the era. And today we don't have many morals left if it comes to slaughtering folk. But in fact, we've risen a generation, maybe the second actually, on video games. So that they can just go right into the military. I said this back in the 90s. I said they're raising a generation. Never mind that the generation two of communists that they would eventually turn loose from the universities. That's been done now, of course, as you well know. And revolutionaries and nihilists and the atheists, the old standard technique, but also a generation of young folk who would go drift right into the military, from Xbox to military, as I've said. They've had articles about it on purpose for all the wars that they had planned back in the late 80s. The coming wars, it's all been done. Worked awfully well. Xbox to the military. But again, what I'm getting at here, it's a whole bunch of points I'm getting at, I suppose. We've always been manipulated. You're living through a big business plan where whatever the elite want, and there is certain, it's not the King and Queen of England, but it's not characters like that. It's a way above them, you know. The folk above it certainly they've got their brains. But Prince Charles, he didn't even get through Gordonston. He had to leave and go to, I think it was Dollar Academy. You know, he couldn't even hack the people. The guys there were tough, you know. And it's like rugby on and off the field. It made no difference. That's how. And if you can't stand up for yourself, you're done for. And he could even hack that. But he didn't have intelligence either. So it's not Prince Charles. He was the prince, they said, back in the 80s and 90s, the prince without a cause. He had no purpose, you see. So they eventually gave him a purpose of the public-private partnership deal, made a mouthpiece for that. But he is dedicated to one thing, and that's his dad's depopulation agenda. Because Prince Philip is up there in that realm. He's always been up there. About too many people. And he's given lots of speeches about culling folk, just that you cull animals. And he uses that word, by the way. And his global speeches for the Sierra Club and the different clubs that he belongs to, which are all the same about depopulation. And that's always been at foremost of an elite's agenda, is depopulation.
Question everything. Intelligent Radio.